No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith! So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Second passage is Philippians 4, 4 through 7, and that is 1830 in the Pew Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for these wonderful passages. May you be upon Chris as he delivers a words of life today that we can all hear with the very core of our heart. Bless him dearly in Jesus' name. Amen.
There once were two young boys who were playmates. They lived in neighboring farms and they were playing together. They lived in Texas and they imagined themselves as Texas Rangers. Well, one day one of their moms said, why don't you two Texas Rangers go down to the chicken house and get rid of the snake down there that's wreaking havoc among the chickens? So they got on their brooms and they went down to the chicken house, and they got down there and chicken houses, two, three, four levels, and they looked at one, couldn't find it, and they get the second one, they couldn't find it, and then they got on a stool and kind of peeked over the third level, and there, right in front of them, was a snake. Well, they got so scared that they fell all over themselves and went busting out the door and broke the door down, and the mom was looking at them and said, why did you get so scared? You know a chicken snake can't harm you. And one of the little boys said, well, sometimes you see things that scare you so much they hurt you. You get so scared of them. Well, I think worry is that way. Worry is one of those things in our lives that is based on fear. And in some cases, you know, where God has actually made us so that we can get anxious. You know, when we have a threat in our lives, or like a truck coming at you or something like that, you get anxious. It's fight or flight. I got to get out of here. Or somebody threatens you. Some of that's natural, but then we begin to fret over things. We begin to worry about what's going to happen and what isn't going to happen. And many books have been written about this.
There was one book a few years ago that called How to Win Over Worry. And it quoted some statistics, and it pointed out that more people die in America as a result of suicide, the consummation of stress, duress, anxiety, and worry, than who die from the five most common contagious diseases combined. Twice as many people die from suicide as by homicide, maybe more than that now. 50% more people die because of ulcers than die because of murder. Doctors are quite candid in admitting that more than half of the patients in hospital today are there because of the accumulated effects of mental problems and anything else, and many of those mental problems are due to worry. Someone else called attention to the fact that worry causes heart trouble, high blood pressure, some forms of asthma, rheumatism, ulcers, colds, thyroid malfunction, arthritis, migraine headaches, blindness, and host of stomach disorders, and on it goes. Worry is a big problem. It was in Jesus' time as well. And in this passage, especially the one in Matthew, there, you know, sometimes you hear people talk about a word of knowledge. Well, there are five words in this this passage that I want you to, or lessons I want you to hear. One is a word about treasure. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I like to tell the story about a guy who had three wishes. And so he rubbed a lamp or something and got a genie who gave him three wishes. And the first couple of were easy. He said, I'd like to have an $80,000 Lamborghini. Poof, there it was. Next wish, $20 million. Poof, there it was. But then he really had a hard time with the third one, you know, and he began mulling it over and thinking about it. You know, there was this tune in his head that he couldn't get rid of. You know, he'd seen a commercial, and he began to sing it. And said, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. I knew I'd wake you up with something. I'm not sure. What is your treasure? Jesus addresses two things psychologists tell us every human being is concerned about. One is security. And he basically says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about your life. And then there's significance. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. But let me ask you a question. What do you treasure the most? One famous author wrote that people basically are more concerned about living comfortably as possible, as long as possible. That's one treasure. Other people simply want enough money. Other people treasure their families. Other people treasure this or that and the other. I think one of the biggest treasures we have is, especially in America, is our own thought that our lives are our own. And Jesus says, who is your master? What is your treasure? Would anyone know what your treasure is by looking at your checkbook and what you spend on what? Jesus is saying your treasures need to line up with what God wants. Because if they don't, you're going to worry. If your treasure is in things, no wonder you have anxiety. How many times have we just put our hope on things and then lost them? Or your health, and suddenly it was gone. Your treasure needs to line up with what God wants. So there's a word about treasure. There's also a word, I'm calling it a word about worry and concern. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. For who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? You know what's interesting about that word, worry? That Greek word for worry is the exact word also for concern. And most of us, when we hear this passage, we're going, how in the world can I go through life without worrying about things? Shouldn't I worry about my children when they're growing up? Shouldn't I worry about doing my job well? Shouldn't I worry about the things I'm responsible to do and be? Well, of course you should, in a sense. But really what we need to be doing is being concerned about it. There's a vast difference between worry and concern. It's just the context of the word
and what they mean. Worry, Jesus talks about worry, it means thinking about something in the context of forgetting that God's in charge. And when we forget that God's in charge, we're full of anxiety and what's going to happen about this and what's... But it's okay to be concerned about things. You know, it's like taking a job in a church. I'm very concerned about doing my job well. I'm concerned about what I have to do and taking care of people. You all have the same kinds of things in your jobs and your family. You have children that you're concerned about. You know, my girls are grown now, but when they were teenagers, I was concerned a lot about, I used to say about staying out of jail, but I was concerned. You know, if one of them brought home a young man that had a tattoo that said, "I am the Antichrist," I would have been very concerned about that. Luckily, they didn't do that. But you see what I mean. We are to be concerned about things. That is, in the context that God's in charge, I belong to God, and God's going to bring me through it. But if we worry about things, it's in the context of going, forgetting all that. That's what Jesus means. Don't worry about your life.
And then there's a word about the present, or the past, and the present, and the future. You know, the Bible is very clear about the past.
The past is important. Something to be learned from, but something to never live in. You've heard me say many times that faith is built by looking toward the past. We see what God has done in our lives, and we're built up in the present and the future by seeing what God has come through. We see that's what the Bible's about. We read the Bible and read and see what God has done, knowing that God's going to take care of us in the present and the future. And we learn from our mistakes. But you know what? We are all guilty of, you know, there's a new word kind of ringing around, weaponizing things. We weaponize the past in our lives. Oh, you stupid idiot, why did you do that? Our bag full of rocks, things that we have done, and we worry about them. We worry about whether God still loves me or not. We worry about, and we just let them fester. You know, you know what chewing the cud means? It means to chew something over and over again. We chew over things that... flights that have been done to us years ago. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and think about what somebody did to you when you were 13. And some of you are 13, so you don't know that experience. But we all do that kind of thing. We weaponize the past. And there are other people who weaponize the past for us. They basically bring to mind things, you did this 15 years ago. You did that 20 years ago. They can make a list of all the things you've done. Spouses do that to each other from time to time. People in church do that. Oh, I remember what happened 20 years ago. We can't do that again. Well, you're right. We shouldn't do that again. But we have to walk that line between worrying and concern. And why are we bringing that up? We tend to take the past and make rocks out of it. Yes, we should be concerned about what happened, what we have done in the past. We need to make it right. Every now and then, we really do. On the other hand, it can cross that line and become something evil to us. Jesus talked about forgiveness all the time. He says you can be forgiven. Forgiven isn't necessarily forgetting. What it is doing away with the punishment, if you will. When I forgive someone, I'm basically saying, I'm not going to seek revenge on you. I'm not going to get even with you. I'm going to set that aside as though it never happened. That's hard to do. isn't it? But that, you know, you can't forget something that was done. We can't forget that someone is guilty of abuse. I wouldn't let someone abuse my children, come near them again. But I'm willing to forgive them in the sense of not holding them accountable and maybe help them get past it. See what I mean? But if we don't do that, we worry about it. It becomes something that it becomes bad for us. We do the same thing with the future as well. I've told you many times over the last year, I'm not really bragging about it, but I have told you it's just a wealth of sermon illustrations. When I went to airborne school in the Army, one of the things we had to do is every morning before dawn go do PT, and then after PT you do a run. And the first 4 days in the first week was 2.5 miles. And, you know, I was 37 and most everybody else was 20. So it was pretty fast for me, not necessarily for them. But by Friday, I was tired. And then we did 3 miles instead of 2.5. It was 3.25, I think. And I got this stitch in my side. It was just a massive amount of pain. Have you ever had one of those? And if you dropped out on Friday, they sent you home. And I did, and they did. And it was humiliating. It really was. But this pain, you know why I dropped out? It wasn't just the pain. It was worrying about what was going to happen next week when the runs were going to be longer. And I said to myself, if this hurts this much, I will never make it next week. Well, by God's grace, I got to go back a few months later. Well, guess what happened? Friday came along, and the same pain. But this time, I said to myself, I'm not going to think about next week. I'm just going to make it through today. And I don't care how much it hurts. And I made it. And you know what? The next week wasn't so bad. I have no idea why. It really wasn't. We take the future and we destroy our present with it. We destroy our present, which might happen. Mark Twain, who I don't really think was a Christian, but had a famous saying, he said, I've lived a long life and have seen many troubles, most of which never happened. And we do that to ourselves. I don't know how many times I have awakened up at night thinking, oh my gosh, if this is going to be so bad and it never happened. And now some things do happen that are bad, obviously. But most of the time. But it's also in that context of forgetting who's in charge of the future. God is not subject to time. But we are, but we're in his hands.
So there's a word about treasure, a word about the difference between worry and concern, and a word about the past and the present and the future. And there's a word about prayer and thanksgiving. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hear that?
Same idea. Don't be anxious about anything, but in the context of prayer, with not just any prayer, with thanksgiving. The whole idea is that when we pray for what we need, we thank God ahead of time that He is going to take care of our needs. Now, I realize that's kind of backwards for most human beings. We tend to thank people after they've done something for us. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. This is pre-Thanksgiving. It's being thankful in our lives because we're confident that God is going to do what? Give us everything we want? No. God always answers prayers. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's maybe. A lot of times it's wait. Do you know how to spell patience? W-A-I-T. God makes us wait, sometimes for a long time for things. Sometimes when you pray for something, now God could go make it happen, right, like that. That's because who God is. But because God uses other human beings to do things, sometimes he has to, it starts a domino process. Well, you want that, okay? In order for that to happen, somebody has to do this. Then somebody else has to do that. Then somebody else has to do that. It comes around a big circle and finally happens. Several months later, a year later, whatever. Who knows? You know, when you guys wanted to call it interim, initially, I was not available. I wasn't available for 8 months later. But because of how things happened, it all worked out. You had to wait a while. I hope it was worth the wait. I have no idea. But it was for me. I only use that as an example of how God works. We want it now. God will give it to us. We just have to trust that he wants what is best for us. Eventually, it will happen. So we trust God for that person. We give him thanks because God is in charge. Last but not least, it's a word about purpose. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be yours as well. What is your purpose in life?
You know, I mentioned earlier about, would your checkbook tell anybody about what your purpose is? I'm not being condemning. I'm just saying, you know, what I found as a pastor is one of the hardest places to get into somebody's life is their wallet. And one of the biggest complaints in church is, all you do is ask for money. But you know what? I haven't really experienced that. I go out of my way not to ask for money because I know how hard it is for people. But if you were just to examine what you... we have to buy food and we have to pay our bills. We have to do a lot of different things. But do you give money to things that you should... God wants you to... Do you support God's work in the world? In some form or another, with your checkbook, with your time, with your is seeking God's kingdom anywhere near one of your priorities when you get up? If you ever get up in the morning and get your day timer out and make out your priorities for the month or the week, is something about God's kingdom in there at all? Ask God about that. I'm not going to check up on you. And I have the same problem you do. I don't do it as much as I should. And I'm a pastor. But think about that in your life. What are our priorities? Is it to live as long as possible, as comfortably as possible? Or is it to find out what God really wants you to do in that moment? You know what? Our purposes change. The individual things change. The bigger purpose doesn't change. Seeking God's kingdom. But God may have you be doing, and you say, well, how can I do that? Well, what are you doing now in your work? You may not, some of you have a job, some of you don't. But how do you seek God's kingdom in your work? I don't know that answer for you. But you can find out by asking. How can I be what God wants me to? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You! Who, me? I'm a sinner. Well, yeah, that's true. But God, Jesus still says, I channel my light through you. I find that incredible. Actually, weird. Because I don't feel like I'm a very good channel most of the time. But God does. That's what he says. And it's true. You are his representative where you are. So how you seek God's kingdom is different for all of us in the various circumstances and where we live. But let me just encourage you in that.
seek first his kingdom. And God will take care of the details. That's how I read that. God will take care of the details.
And I chose this passage to say that to you, not as just as individuals, but as a church as well.
Not that I've seen you not have faith. I think this church has great faith. All of the people I've met here have great faith. But just as an encouragement, you know, it's easy to say, what's coming down the pike? Who is this new guy we're getting? Or we didn't even know who that was a while back. Who's coming? And it is kind of an amazing process. You start looking through all these places and you think of there's 100,000 pastors in the United States. Maybe I mean, more, much more than that. The very one is out there somewhere for us. Yeah, that's maybe not quite that bad, but it is a process. And God brings us people from out of nowhere sometimes. We just don't know where they came from, except that they're God's people. And one of the things I have, I need to say one more time, I know it's getting late, but is that one of the things I've enjoyed most about being a pastor of several churches is that I get to meet God's people all over the world in all kinds of places. And that actually helps my faith. You know, when you're in one place all the time, and there's nothing wrong with that, you don't get to see people all over the world and different places who are believers, who know Jesus. And that's one of the privileges I've had, and some of you have, of course. And it's real. I've experienced the Holy Spirit and people of which I could not understand their language, but I understood them. And so it's very real, very real.
So trust God. That's what it's really all about. The operative word here is faith. And trusting that God's in charge
and that if we worry, apart from that context, we're going to it's unhealthy. But if we're concerned in the context of God being in charge, knowing that, and watching it happen, and remembering that, and looking back, and looking forward, worry will be less a problem in your life. God's in charge, and Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Well, God, thank you for this church. I do thank you for each one here. I thank you for the myriad of gifts just in this place.